Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, this is Patricia and Sue here with Dr. Pat Allen. How are you, Dr. Pat?
I'm just fine. I had the phone upside down instead of sides up.
Well, that worked just fine. Here we are. Here you are. And we're so happy you're with us tonight and this afternoon and wherever your time zone is. And Dr. Pat, you always have the most incredible pearls of wisdom from all your decades of teaching people how to love one another better. So
I'm a sophist.
Yes.
Marcus Aurelius wrote a book about the secrets he discovered being a selfish person. Where you love people, you want gratification for you. So
yes.
I like teaching it.
It's wonderful. Now, part of your tools is what we talk about, what you have taught many, many people over the years, is about the five-step cleanup. People are always asking us, what is the five-step cleanup and when do you use it?
Well, you understand that we human beings have three ways of talking. Intimidate with fear, seduce you with guilt and shame, or negotiate with cherishing and respect to get along. So are you a sophist or are you a hedonist? So Patricia, which are you?
Well, I am a stoic, yes.
And because of that, hedonists are tremendously powerful. They can lie, cheat, steal. They can do anything because they have no guilt and no reason to love anybody. So I want you to know that I teach people how to deal with hedonists.
And yes.
The five tools, five-step cleanup is one of my doctoral thesis, which is basically beware of your thoughts, your words, your character in order to negotiate with love. So when you are with or near somebody that wants to dominate you with power, don't take and waste your time to do it. Here's what you do with these people.
Yes.
Number one, you say to them, I'm going to pretend you're a hedonist.
Yes.
Patricia.
Yes.
Patricia, you have every right to say that, think that, feel that, do that, but I'm uncomfortable with it. So what do you want to do about that?
Mm-hmm. Well,
if you're really not smart, you'll try to fight with them.
Mm-hmm.
Don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the five-step cleanup.
Mm-hmm.
This is somebody that sometimes is nice to you, but they're having a bad day.
Mm-hmm.
So when they intimidate, seduced with guilt and shame, here's what you say to them. You have every right to do that, but I'm uncomfortable with it. And so are you willing to negotiate? If they say yes, then you tell them, you know, last night at the party, you said this to the person at the table, and I was tremendous.
Oh, well, maybe we can get her back on to finish that.
If she can get her back on. We may have
you. That's intimidation.
Right.
You're better off using step one. You have a right to do that, but I'm uncomfortable doing it. So are you willing to negotiate a compromise?
Right.
If they say yes, do the compromise. If they say no, say to them, I sense by the look on your face, your body language, your attitude, that you want to fight with me. Am I correct? Oh,
mm-hmm.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, mm-hmm. You have a right to do that as well, but I'm going to take a walk. I'm going to go home, whatever the price tag is. So the five-step cleanup is when someone wants to intimidate you, guiltify you, shame you, don't fight with them. Tell them they have a right to do it, but you're unhappy and you want to negotiate a compromise.
So we're negotiating a compromise. I will continue. We got a technical difficulty again, but we're going to compromise with someone. Yes, we're going to compromise with the person who is intimidating. Oh, there it goes again. Well, she won't be coming back, so I'll finish it. It's too technical difficulties tonight. So we're going to negotiate with that person, letting them know that we aren't going to stick around if they continue in the fashion that makes us uncomfortable. So that is in the book, Getting to I Do. Those wonderful communication skills are for everyone, not just when you're looking towards getting into a relationship. These are communication skills that are
you can go
the
on
board.
Yeah, you can go on the website, www.drpatallen.com, and there's a free access video stream. It's like an hour long that you can see Dr. Allen demonstrating the tools with an audience, a class. She uses the tools and a bunch of other information that she teaches. That's on www.drpatallen.com. So with that, unfortunately, Dr. Allen got bumped. She must be something wrong with her phone. She bumped off. We'll have her back on next week. But I just wanted to tell everybody this, that if you want to call in and have your questions answered, Patricia Eltage and I will be taking questions. The call-in number is 323-203-0815. When you call the number, Sam at the switchboard sees your number and will call you back to be connected to the show. Please make sure you pick up the call back and enter the number in your phone contact list to avoid going to spam. So with that, we want to introduce Patricia Elton. She's been trained by Dr. Allen. She's a specialist in dream interpretation. Do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes, I've been doing dream interpretation for many years and studying transactional analysis and dreams and life scripts for 30 years. And I can be found through the Want Institute, and that is Sue will give you all that information, or my website, thedreamclass.com. But getting a hold of the Want Institute, she'll tell you what other opportunities there are. You want to tell them more about the Want Institute?
Yes, we offer different services, private relationship coaching, and Patricia offers life scripts and dream interpretation, and I offer private sessions on relationships and how to get ladies into healthy relationships and teach them how to use the tools. I do offer a check-in group. Before you're invited into that group, you have to have a couple of sessions with me so that I can get you up to par, and then you fit into the group so you're not lost with all the information. So if you want information on either Patricia's help or my help, you can contact me at the office at 949-723-0338, or you can email me at info@drpatallen.com. So Patricia, do you have any questions that you have? We also take people calling questions.
So oh, here we have.
Caller, you need to turn off your radio.
Turn off the radio background so we can hear you.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, because it bounces.
Hello.
Hi. You're on the air with Patricia Eltage and myself. Do you have a question for us?
Oh, yes. I have a question on the transactional analysis, like the earlier when you're talking to Hedonist. What if at work lately I'm getting into real estate, and when I talk to the brokerage, they're like, this is a 24/7, 365 business, and they're really trying to intimidate me. And I really do want to enter into real estate, but with my own boundaries, but they keep on saying, like all these ways that I basically always need to be on call and all these things, and I haven't said anything back. I've just been nodding.
Well, let's talk about this. If you're working in a company for other people, you are going to a point follow their rules, but you can also negotiate. We always can negotiate anything, but they can, negotiating doesn't mean you will get exactly your way, but you can state certain boundaries that you would prefer, that are preferences of work hours or availability, and see if you're still a fit to work in their company. Ultimately, it's going to be their choice. Or you find a company where you're a better fit, where the hours are suit you better.
I see.
But we do have the opportunity to negotiate with anyone. And we teach that. Yeah. So we teach those communication skills that are stating what they have a right to ask for, and you, in turn, stating what your preferences, what your comfort level would be. Of course, in business, we're all coming from our masculine, which isn't about comfort. Everyone's in their masculine in business. So you're going to say what your wants are. Well, my wants and not wants in this instance, since it's business, would be this, this, and this. And they would say, okay, well, we can negotiate that down to these hours and these days rather than, are you willing to do that? So then there's a back and forth negotiation. And then you see if you're a fit for each other.
Okay, I see. So when they say that their work style is to be on call 24/7, and they want to train me to call me at all hours of the day, whether that's like 4 a.m. or like, you know, 10 p.m. or like 6 p.m. when I'm eating dinner, I can say, you know, you have every right to have those rules. I feel uncomfortable with that if you want to train like that. If
I wouldn't talk about my comfort level in business.
Because you're not in your feminine. Everybody's masculine at work. So you can't tell them how you feel. Yeah, work is different than relationship, boy and girl, male and female.
You can state that you don't want you, that doesn't work for you. My preference is this. You can state your preferences, and then it might not be a fit on your part, or it might not be a fit on their part. And then you go seek out another company if you don't come to agreement.
Okay, I see. So at work, we don't state our
comfort, feelings,
especially with, okay, right. So we don't state our comfort, whether it's speaking with males, especially since my team has many males are in the leadership position, or with the females, because I see the females are also in their masculine.
Okay. Everybody's a man at work. Everybody operates out of their masculine side at work. Working is masculine. So you state your wants, what you want to do, and know what your direction is, and know what you can also state what you don't want, but preferably you keep stating your wants, what you do want.
Okay. And is it okay to use the word like I would like, or just
no.
I want? Like,
no, that's
weak.
Want has more potency. Would like is not very potent.
It's weaker.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
And then my second question is also transitioning from the masculine to the feminine. With work, I feel like, I know Dr. Pat, she mentions to have an hour after work to get into your feminine. But actually, I feel like I'm so exhausted after work that I just need to like nap. And then like, it's hard for me to even watch get back into the masculine the next day. Like I can get just so tired by Tuesday. So it's hard for me to even enter and want to enter back into the masculine.
Well, this is where if you're going to be in the workforce, then you need to build your muscle to be able to work, to be able to, or find a job that's a part-time job. But most people in the workforce have to take care of themselves in the latter part of the day and nurture their women especially need to nurture their body and regroup with the body. Mm-hmm. That's the feminine, so that they can feel rested and regrouped by the next day in order to go back to work.
Right. And is there any way to... Because if we have male seniors or superiors that are male and we're the masculine at work, like they don't understand and we don't tell them, right? Like if literally a week and a half every month we are much more lethargic and stuff and we're not as sharp. And we can't stay so late.
Who's the we? Are you speaking for yourself or other people too?
Oh yeah, like myself. So
this is you, because there are many women out there who are real workers and who make it to CEOs because they have built their working muscle.
Yes. No, it's for me, I've realized after maybe 5+ years of working, I really have a hard time staying in the masculine and having that physical stamina.
Well, are you resting and nurturing your body after work?
Yes, I do. Okay. I just feel so
maybe
tired.
Maybe she's in a field that's too masculine for her. Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's too much for you.
Mm-hmm. You know, we all have different skill levels and different temperaments that, you know, you might be in a career that's too masculine for you.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. So it's not so much of a...
What career are you in? What type of career are you in?
Real estate. Transitioning into real estate in New York City. And they just say that, you know, no one, like none of the agents or the brokers ever sleep. And you want to...
Well, it's a dog-eat-dog world in the big cities.
Yeah.
So do you need to live in New York City?
Yeah, that's what I'm considering too.
You may find it easier to be involved in real estate in a different town.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay, that makes sense. Thank you. Yeah, I guess I can't push against myself and my masculine.
Your nature.
Stamina is only at...
Well, you're getting in touch with your own personal limitations, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's being in touch with yourself.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and I have one more question. When it comes to relationships and stating that it's currently I am working, I still feel uncomfortable telling them that I actually much like rather prefer being at home, at least at the beginning. And I know Dr. Pat also mentions this for women under the age of 45 to also prioritize womanhood and family if that's what they would like to do. And I feel like that is me too. Like I don't mind pursuing a career after my children are raised.
Sure what you're asking. So are you dating somebody, or when you're dating somebody and you're trying to tell him you'd prefer to be an at-home mom? Is that what I'm hearing?
I haven't spoken this yet, but when I start dating.
In your wants.
When you start dating, why don't you just go and see if you like the guy and listen to what the guy has to offer?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're jumping ahead already designing what you want, and that's masculine. Your job is to just look pretty, smell pretty, taste, touch, smell, all of that. You're feminine. You go and you see a guy, he asks you out, you go out and have a good time, and he'll talk about himself and everything that he can do to help you and your life be great. And then you get to decide if you want to see him again or not. See if what he's offering you fits into what you want and not want.
Okay, yes.
There's a 3-month period where you get to know people. You don't just like bird us out on the first date or tell them right when you meet them, I like to stay at home.
Okay, that's a good point. Okay.
Yeah, you got to get to know people and see.
Don't put the cart before the horse.
Yeah. We want you. Why don't we go do some duty dating? Get three guys and see how you feel around each guy and see what they can offer you and how much fun and how you enjoy being with them. That'll tell you what if you want the man or not, if he's compatible for you. We're looking for compatibility.
And then down the road, we negotiate working and playing and staying at home and not staying at home. You know, that's down the road a piece.
Yeah. You're still in the beginning stage of dating. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Okay, thank you so much.
Get some dates and then call us and we'll help you with the duty dating.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Thank you
for calling.
Those are good questions, Sue. Yeah. Well, you know, when people understand their own temperament and their wants and not wants out of life, then when they go meet people, they're going to know what starts to fit with them. But not. Oh, hello.
Oh,
hello.
Hi, you're on the air with Patricia Eltage and myself, Sue Wagner. Do you have a question for us?
Yes, I had a question. I am in the middle of my 8 weeks. I'm on the fifth week.
Okay.
And the person that we were committed, we had all the longevity, and he introduced me to his inner circle. I spoke to his mom, those kind of things, like many promises. So I'm just giving this space because he basically, I mean, we had 8 weeks ago a date, we were going to go to a concert, and then that morning out of nowhere he just kind of didn't really communicate, which was really strange because the whole 5 months we had communication, compatibility for the most part.
Mm-hmm. We had a caller like this a couple weeks ago.
Patricia, that was her. I think that's her.
Is this you?
I did. It was a couple of weeks ago.
Yes.
But okay. I just thought about it a little more. And what I wanted to ask was, I don't even know if I can, but should I date? I mean, I'm in my fifth week. And
well, how did he end it? Or how did you part ways? Or I want to know his thinking is.
No communication. He basically, you know, his father passed away in August. He basically just seemed like he was overwhelmed. He's the one who.
Did he say anything there, or did he just ghost you?
No, he didn't ghost me. He called me and said
this
was
is
sort
too
of
much.
Babbling. Like it was hard for him. He said it's too much.
Uh-huh. Too much.
And then
that's right.
He basically got choked up. Uh-huh. And then I said, well, why don't we take a break? You know,
I'll tell you something right there. That was you designing it. That's you taking the lead right there. I'll just tell you. You took the masculine role in that instance.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. He did what he wanted to do.
Well, it does matter. Darling, it does matter because we're trying to teach you feminine communication skills. You can't go flip-flop back and forth. So you just took over and you told him, well, we should take a break. So that's you mothering him, and we don't advise that. And now, so he said he just basically agreed with you. Okay, fine. Or what? How did that go you said we should take a break?
He said, why can't we take a break? It wasn't like, let's do that. It was because instead of cutting the whole thing off, I panicked because it came out of nowhere. The night before, he was talking about beach chairs.
I understand, but you're the one who suggested taking a break. What I just
but
heard
he was
from
breaking.
You.
Yeah,
what did he say?
It seemed like he was breaking up.
It
with me.
It seemed then, like it, but he didn't use the words.
No, he did.
What words did he use? Can I hear his words?
He said, "I can't do this anymore. I just need." And it's like he's really in his head a lot, very kind of passive aggressive, artistic, and.
Well, that's not his head. He's in his feelings, dear. He was emotional. That's not in his head. He's in his feelings.
Yeah. So and he's in his
60s. So you got pushed into your masculine. He was in his feeling-centered feminine. You took over because he couldn't finish his sentence. So you finished his sentence for him. So now you're all mixed up. I suggest you just wait this out because you designed it.
Well, I didn't, though. I think he hasn't reached out. We're still on social media.
Meaning what?
He hasn't posted. I haven't. Meaning he's on Instagram. I'm on Facebook. We follow each other still. Like he didn't.
But you don't communicate on it. You just follow each other.
No, we do not. And he hasn't you know, I did text him. That's why I'm doing the 5 week. I mean, I started 8 weeks from the time that I text him because I just didn't understand where this was coming
from.
We never even had a fight.
What did you text him?
I texted him that basically I was in my masculine and I believe, well, I don't, it's way down there, so I can't look it up. But he said, I said, I miss you and basically wanted to get together and communicate like where we're at. You know, honestly, I wanted to hear. If he couldn't do this or wanted to break it off or met someone else, which I don't understand because we spent so much time together.
Did he answer you? Did he answer you?
Yes, he did. He did. He did answer me.
What did he answer?
He said he was on his way to the East Coast because, you know, I was supposed to go to Thanksgiving with him. Actually, his mom invited me. And he said he has to go. It's crazy. He's got to take care of things with his mom. He goes, how about when I get after Thanksgiving, we get together and talk. And then, and he still hasn't reached out.
Okay.
He said, I appreciate that. That's what he said.
He's it's just after Thanksgiving. So he still has time.
He's ruminating.
You have to be patient. You want everything too fast. He wants it his time zone. He's got too much that went on all at once. He needs to take a step back to regroup. That's what men do.
But he doesn't want you. He doesn't need you to lead. Let him do his own process. He doesn't need you to do it for him.
So I would suggest be patient. Mm-hmm. And then at the 8 weeks, we'll help you write that hi bye letter, which opens the door for him to come back.
Yeah. Do you think that maybe it's just a deal breaker, though?
Could you wait the 8 weeks and let's take it to the end? Because you're trying to get information too fast. And that's going to be the kiss of death on breaking this up.
Yeah, well, I'm not doing anything. I am passive, patient, and vulnerable. I'm staying here doing my stuff, you know, my life.
Then go do things to make you feel good and let him go do his things and he'll come back.
Okay.
On his time, right. Not your time.
You're getting impatient and wanting it to
It's just, I understand
it's uncomfortable.
No communication. And but I always know that Pat always has communication.
No. Not if they're not if they don't want to. Not when they're not ready.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
Call us next week and we'll help you through it. Your job today is to just be patient. We appreciate you sharing, but if you want to take this to the end with this man, be patient.
Okay.
And just watch the movie. Watch how it's playing out. We're not writing the script in it.
I know. So no date. I'm not dating. I don't even have the head for it, but.
I would say, go ahead, Sue.
I'd say just go do things that you enjoy. If you have friends, girlfriends, if you want to date somebody, that's fine. Then
go out on some coffee dates. Go daytime. Yes. Do some daytime coffee dates.
I know, but
Don't have a plan. Mm-hmm. Just go and have fun until the 8 weeks, and then we'll walk you through the next step. You're at a step that we can't do anything with.
I know. I'm at the 5th week. I still have 3 more weeks. But, I shouldn't advertise myself.
Don't advertise. Okay, we've got 3 in the queue here.
Yeah. All righty. We'll talk to you. Call us back next week. Thank you, caller.
Bye.
Okay, we've got some other callers here. Hopefully you'll get through. I think somebody else, are you on the air with, you're on the air with Patricia Eltage and Sue Wagner. Do you have a question for us?
Hi, yeah, this is Eitan's godson, Mick.
Oh, and, hello.
Charlotte,
you need to turn down the background. You need to turn the radio down in the background.
Okay.
Thank you. We got feedback.
Is that better?
Yes. How's it going?
Yeah. So Charlotte and I kind of been doing some reading, and she, I guess the question first we'll ask, and I can give some context, is she was wondering what a woman should do when her partner seems to be the recipient of emotional incest from a mother.
His mom got really nasty and like spiraled via email the past couple of days. It was kind of scary.
Well, it was scary for whom? First of all, it's none of the girl we're talking to here, Charlotte. It's none of your business. That is not your business, and I don't want you to start mothering him. This is it. How did it affect you? How did it affect you, Mick? No, Mick. I'm asking Mick how it affected Mick. Because that's the person
it didn't really affect me because I'm numb to it and used to it.
You're used to it. Okay. So why is your partner here? Your partner here. How is it affecting you, Charlotte?
Well, we're expecting, and she was saying things at first like, why couldn't you have just waited until I was dead? You're so effing stupid, and like repeatedly physically attacking him while screaming, like, why would you do this or something?
Did she say it in front of you, Charlotte?
No. So recently she wanted us to go to a family lawyer and like started telling Mick, like just saying some, how did it affect me? Let me just answer your question. It made me feel scared. Like her spirals make me feel worried that I need to protect myself.
Well, you don't have to be involved with her. He's dealing with her and he's dealt with her his whole life. So I don't want you to take over being his mother. You just need to take care of your own feelings because she didn't do it to you specifically. She has said some nasty things, or things that he's used to hearing, it sounds like. Am I right, Mick?
Yeah, definitely. So
he's accustomed to dealing with with her emotions. And Charlotte, you're not accustomed, but she didn't do it around
you.
No,
I'm not.
So, Mick, I suggest you not share.
She's encouraging him to do things that are like.
She has a right to do that. She has a right to do that. And he will decide if he will not, if he wants to be married to more to his mother or more to the woman who he's going to have a child with. That's up to him. And you'll know soon enough who he chooses. Will he choose mom over baby mama? But it's not your business.
That's fair. I think that's good advice. I like that. Do you think I should even worry about...
You're not going to worry about this. You're going to take care of your...
Wait, let me finish. Mm-hmm. Let me finish. Do you think that I should even worry about us having a relationship, like me having a relationship with her in the future?
No.
Because I was hoping it would go better.
No, you can't hope of your... No, you just have to wait and see. That's you trying to design something that may never happen. You just have to be patient, passive, and receptive. You can't be designing a relationship with someone else that you barely know. You wait till she comes to you and just, or not. If she doesn't, she doesn't. And it doesn't, and guess what? It doesn't matter. It won't matter either way. That's what you have to come to.
Okay, I think I noticed that it's affecting our relationship, Charlotte and myself, and starting to set some boundaries that I didn't even realize that I was being manipulated into doing things that may be in her best interest and not in
Who's
me
best
and my
interest?
Partner's best interest.
Oh, the mom?
My mom's best interest.
Yeah, well, but not this is being... for you. This is for your chance to become a man. You understand? This is your chance to become an autonomous man and not a mama's boy. So those are your decisions to make, but I don't want your almost wife, your partner, to become mama either. I want her to be passive and watch you develop out of this yourself.
Good information. Okay. Yeah. See how it goes. That's and call us back.
Call us back with the progress of this, okay?
Very good information, guidance.
Okay.
No, absolutely. The plan that we have would be one to, you know, make her exert less control by giving her less opportunities to provide input, sharing less information with her, keeping her out of decision. Yeah,
right.
Keeping her out of decision making,
yeah.
Not accepting her offers to pay for things because they come with
the
they
price.
Come with a big price control. Tag. A
yes.
Big price tag. Control.
So you may have to fund it yourself unless you want her to be the leader.
That price tag is the price tag of your soul, my dear.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So,
exactly.
Charlotte, I want you to stay out of it, though. I want you to watch the movie.
Yeah.
Okay. You're right. I did do that.
I would
rather
have Mick call me and let me walk with him through his Fisher King wound, we call it, which is him going through his becoming a man, an autonomous man.
Yeah. Thank you, callers. Okay. Call us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I hear that you talked. You must work with them privately. That
it's been a while, but they wish they would call more often.
That's a work that needs to be done. Kind of like work together. That's not a one answer hit and miss.
We got a word that we got to. I need to walk with these people when they're walking over the poles.
Oh, here we go. Hello? You're on the air with Patricia Eltage and Sue Wagner. Do you have a question for us?
Yes, thank you so much for answering.
Okay. Uh-huh.
I'm here with my boyfriend, thanks to Pat Allen.
Yay.
And we've been using the tools and he's getting me a promise ring, so that's exciting.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, we just had a question I was trying to kind of explain, and maybe I shouldn't be explaining, that's not very feminine, but
you can explain. You're on a radio. You're in a private room with us. You can explain all you want here. What's going on?
Yeah, we were kind of having an issue with the feeling and thinking, you know, sometimes. Mm. And he's here too.
Hi. Oh, good.
Well, Patricia can help you, but also if you go to Dr. Allen's website, drpatallen.com, there's an hour-long class that talks about the tools and about the masculine, feminine. She's actually teaching a class. You may want to watch that to help get some information, but Patricia can help explain it as well because it takes some time to get accustomed to the information.
Right. You can call for me for a session, but if you look at that, watch that, it's on a YouTube, right?
Sue's YouTube. It's free
on the
access.
Website. It's a free
on our
access.
Website. It's like an hour-long video that goes through Dr. Allen, talks about masculine, feminine. She goes over the communication tools, how to build, how to begin, build, and maintain lasting, loving relationships, the negotiation phase. It will give you all the information you want. But if you have a question for us about it, we'd be happy to help. But for more detail, you can watch the video.
Do you have a particular issue today that we can have a particular scenario?
Yeah. I can't remember the exact issue we were talking about, but sometimes, you know, like if I say a feeling, then he will say a feeling and a thought.
Well, you can't be both in the feminine at the same time. Feelings are feminine. I'm talking to both of you now. Feelings are feminine and thinking and doing and productivity is masculine. So when you, if you're both, how old are you generally? What's your age range?
I'm 72. Jennifer is 54.
Okay. So you, the man here, Mr. 72-year-old,
Mr. Brent.
you are born in a male body, but as you get over 50 years old, you will naturally start becoming a little more feeling centered than you were when you were under 50. That's just nature. That's biology. So this is where a tough time is when men become more feeling centered. They start expressing their feelings, feeling their feelings more. And so you still have to be in touch in order to get along in a male-female relationship or a masculine-feminine relationship. You're going to want to still be connected with your ideas, your thinking first, primary position, and your feelings secondary position. And your partner here, she will be primarily in her feeling centeredness, offering her feelings first and her thinking and ideas secondarily. So mm-hmm. That's the dynamic, but you'll learn more if you go to the website and watch that video, because you really need to understand the basics and then call us back with some real scenarios and we can work them out.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do have one where, well, he's a widower, and his wife passed away, obviously, and so sometimes we struggle with managing that, or how do I deal with that? Where, obviously he's going to want to share feelings about that.
Well, you're not giving me anything specific. That's still very vague. So call us sometime when you have a specific that comes up, and then we can really have something to chew on, not such vague things. Just easier that way, especially when we're on the radio. Or call me, make an appointment, and you can get a couple's appointment with me if you want to, and we can dig. But still, get to the website and try to understand the dynamics first.
And then then we can help you with specific issues. Once you understand the foundation, then we can help you with the communication and the negotiation and the back and forth masculine feminine role.
Mm-hmm. That would be great. Yeah, I've studied it for a long time, but
because you're going into your masculine, you're over 50, so you're by nature going into more of your masculine side. So you have to work to keep into your feminine. It kind of nature does a role reverse.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Well, I appreciate you guys. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
That's good. I love it that the couples are calling. That's wonderful. They're making an effort. People want to make an effort to work it out. And they came to the right place, right, Sue?
That's true. Yeah, one thing, we don't mind. We like taking questions, but when you have all of the information, which Dr. Allen teaches, it's available, free access. You get all that information, then you work to incorporate it, and then we can help you fine-tune. Oh, we have another question here. You're on the air with Patricia Eltage and Sue Wagner. Do you have a question?
Hi, Patricia and Sue. It's me.
Oh, hi. How's it going?
It's going well. I just have a couple of questions. It's not problems, but it's just things I'm thinking about, and maybe fortune telling, but I hope not. So my friend, he bought me jewelry. He called me up and asked, he said he saw some things that he might like, that he thought I might like, but he wasn't sure of my taste. And he bought them, and I acted, grateful and all of that. But I can't stand the jewelry. I can't stand it.
Darling, so grit your teeth, and you don't tell him you can't stand it. When you're around him, you wear it. Yeah. Please.
Really?
Please be grateful and wear it around him and fondle it when you're around him and act like you love it. Please.
That's the part where Dr. Allen says, fake it till you make it.
Mm-hmm. Fake it.
Okay, can I just finish this, what he said about
Yes.
He said that if I didn't like it, to let him know, I could give it to someone else. So you're saying don't do any of that. Just act like I like it and wear it.
He's saying he's going to give it to someone else. We don't want that.
No, he said she could give it to somebody else.
No.
He said if you don't like it, you can tell me and you can give it to, and you could give it away. That's what he said. If I don't like it, should I do what he said, or just do what you said, which is wear it, fondle it, and all of that?
I personally think you fondle it and say, the fact that you gave it to me makes it feel special to me.
Yes.
You don't have to say you love it. You just have to say it's a gift. And say the fact that you gave it to me, it makes it so special.
Okay. And remember, Dr. Allen used to say that men, they have to give gifts and stuff to fall in love. And if women don't accept it, the men can't fall in love with them.
Okay, I want him to fall in love with me, so I'm going to fondle that stuff. And I'm
That you're going to wear it and tell him how precious it is to you because he gave it to you.
He gave it to me, because you gave it to me. I'm writing this down.
Good. I love it when people have pen and paper. When out there, those of you listening, please keep a pad and pen when you call us because we have such pearls of wisdom for you.
And you can always go in and listen to the archives. It's up in a couple of days, the recordings as well.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay, so I have two more. Can I?
Okay, yeah.
All right, so the Alvin Ailey American Dance Theater is coming to the town where I live at.
Oh.
How do I mention it to him without demanding, you know, in a feminine way? Because I don't know how to do that.
You act like a little girl and you go, oh, did you hear this? And do you have it in a paper or magazine? You go, look what I just saw. And you act like a child, you childlike, and you say, oh, look at this. The Alvin Ailey is coming to town. Oh my gosh, I love Alvin Ailey.
I mean, I really do, so that's not going to be
hard. Well, then he knows that he can win points by getting that.
Yes. Get it? Okay. But act childlike and enthusiastic.
Because that signals him what will make you happy, because they don't mind read. They have to. You have to give them signals what makes you happy.
Big signals, like, ooh, I love this.
Yeah, it can't just be he should know that I like this guy.
Okay, so I like Alma Ellie so much. I have this beautiful picture book, like table picture book.
Aww.
I have that. Should I bring it out and show it to him and all that stuff?
Why not? Okay. That's childlike. Okay. Do anything that seems enthusiastic and childlike. They love it.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that. So the next one is, I think I'm fortune telling, so I'm sure you'll get me straight if I am. Okay. So he's revealed everything, all of his flaws, like straight up with between day two and three, okay?
Nice.
So he has mentioned that he gives money to two of his adult daughters who are in their 30s and 40s, and he gives money to his oldest sister. And so he said without fail, you know, they will ask him maybe a couple of times a month to give them money. So I'm thinking, and he's mentioned marriage to me and hoping that it'll work out and that you're the one and all this other kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And so in my mind, I'm thinking, I've never been married, so what does this look like? You know, like they're using him as the ATM, and I understand that that is none of my business.
You got that right. You said it came out of your mouth.
Probably that's when you wait until you do get married, and then you start negotiating about the money. As long as he's paying you, too, what he does with his money is none of your business, as long as you're taken care of as well.
Well, that's what I thought. Okay.
But that comes later. You can negotiate that. We don't have to get that.
That's
yet.
Down that's the road.
Later. Yeah.
Yeah.
You're just watching. Well, you're watching and finding what you're uncomfortable with that you could bring up later.
Okay. All right. I have this. Is there somebody else on the line? Because I got another one.
Well, you can do one more and then we'll have to close out the show. What's your other next question?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, I'll call back because this one is serious. So I'll call back next week.
Oh, call us back next week. Okay. All right.
Yes, Thank you, caller. Thank you both.
Okay, that's one of our regulars, and she sticks with it. I love her.
Yeah, one thing I know, a lot of women, they get jealous because the boyfriend or the guy they're dating gives money to their children, but that's nobody's business until you start to be in an exclusive relationship headed towards marriage, and then you could negotiate.
That's when I could do the time, space, money, and play couples agreement. And that gets serious. That's when you start really negotiating all the areas of your life, of your life together, what works for each of you, and then what doesn't work for each of you. And then that's where negotiation comes in.
Yeah, and that negotiation is on that free video as well. Usually you need to get a third person to, Patricia does that.
Yeah.
So that, one person doesn't monopolize with all their wants. You need to get a mediator.
Otherwise,
one dominates it. And the other one is just the follower and the doormat. So
they're not happy. Then ultimately somebody's not happy.
Well, and then it breaks down. So with that, we started the show a little bit earlier. We'll have Dr. Pat on next week. Sorry that it kind of went off haywire. And I just want, if you want any information on what the WAN Institute offers, we have groups, we have private sessions. Patricia does life scripts. She does couples counseling. You can reach me at the office at 949-723-0338 or info@drpatallen.com. I can give you information to guide you what's best for the help you need. Patricia, do you have anything you want to tell the audience?
Yes, I love Dr. Allen's quote, "The only way you know you love yourself or anybody else is by the commitments, agreements you're willing to make and keep."
See you next week. Thank you.
Bye, guys.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.